I'm going to tell you all, thank you so much. I know a lot of you, you're coming, and I know people, they got to go to work tonight and work a night shift. I mean, that's pretty rough, you know it? But I appreciate you showing love, you showing your dedication, that you come and you hear the Word of God. I appreciate that so much, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know how much that means. And I tell you, to God, it means a whole lot. And I tell you, I'd say this too. I have been fed. Jordan and I have, you probably noticed, that's why I'm hiding behind the podium, okay? All week, it's been outstanding. And I'll have more to say about that tomorrow. I won't be remiss. And I will have some things to say tomorrow. But I just want to let you all know that I have been treated royally. And as brothers, and as your brother, and my son, we love this congregation. You guys are good people. You ladies are good people. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful place that you know in Cleveland, Ohio, or Bedford or whatnot, that you can come and you can worship with people who love God. That means a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen, a whole lot. And we appreciate it, and we don't take that for granted. So don't think that I have forgot anything about that, because I have it, and I have my notes and whatnot. But I did want to let you know that. And I will say this too before we jump into this. And then the sermon will be yours. It will fly by unless it flies off, all right? And if it's okay if it does. I just use this. I'll tell you what. The word is in my brain. I'll tell you. I'll be candid with you. It's in my heart. That's what I mean in my brain. I don't need the PowerPoint. I use that because sometimes I get excited. You probably haven't noticed that, all right? And that's okay. That's all right. That's no problem. That's no problem. You know, it's called the Spirit, all right? And anyway, but I put that because sometimes my mouth even runs faster than my brain, all right? Believe that or not, okay? But anyway, it has the verses and whatnot, and so many times you can look on there, and it helps out. But I do want to say that you all are a good congregation. And to be a good congregation, you need one another. One man can't do it. Even if you did have elders here, it's not only the elders that can do it. If the elders don't have a flock to feed, they're not going to be elders, okay? And you all make that up, brothers and sisters. And one thing, do not think that I've been trying to be officious or forcing things, dogmatic or whatnot. I'm not. But I do take it seriously. If you don't know your God, I want you to know God. I don't want you to know Danny Allen. You can forget everything I have said. You know God. Because I can't bring you salvation. He laid down the salvation. So I want you to love God. And so if you think I'm trying to get real personal with you or whatnot, that's not my intentions. But I do know one day I'll be judged. And he'll say, Danny, why didn't you talk to him? Or why didn't you talk to her? You had the opportunity, they walked right by you, and you didn't even say nothing about the Lord. How dare you? And you proclaim God's word. And I would not want to do that to anyone. And I know in my little tenureship as a gospel preacher, many of people have walked by me without me saying stuff as a younger man. So as an older man, I don't want that to happen. I want Jesus to understand that I do love people. And I love the people that he lets me to talk to. So I appreciate you all here. You all are a fine group of people, and I just wanted to say that. I think you're a wonderful, wonderful group. Randy, thank you so much for the prayer. God bless you. What, good, the Sims, great people. I'm not saying that because they just took me out to eat, okay? All right? Nothing at Deidre, nothing to do with that, all right? All right? The song service tonight by Brother Robert. What a wonderful young, come on now. Has not the singing been grateful this week? Is it the acoustics? No. It's your voices. You all are great the song leaders, they nailed it. Ken, Joe, Rob, you guys have nailed it. But the congregation singing, and that's what fellowship is. We call it koinonia. And that's what we need. That's what we prayed about. Psalms 133, verse 1. Now, that's not even on my script. But the fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need, is it not? So congratulations to you. Hats off to you. If I had a hat on, I'd take it off, okay? But I appreciate you all very, very much. Now I want to have your time here. You have freedom.
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to be talking about freedom. Freedom in Jesus Christ. We are never more, listen to what I'm about to say, this is profound. We are never more discontented with others than when we are discontented with ourselves. Now you think about what I just said there, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. If you want, turn to Psalms 26. I'm going to turn there, and I want to share one verse with you. And I want you to listen to this wonderful psalm of David. And in Psalms 26 and verse 2, David would have this to say, examine me. You think about that. Now, of all people you can think about, David said, Lord, look at me. And he wanted the Lord to look at him. Can I ask you a personal question? Would you be willing to say that right now? Let's say Jesus was coming back. As soon as I was done, okay, I'm done. I'm done at 8:20, 8:50, whatever. I'm done. And then you know, once you walk out in that parking lot there, Jesus is coming home. You think there would be more people here tonight? I do. Do you think more people would make their life right? I do. But I'll tell you what. You know, we always think we have all the time in the world, don't we? I have buried friends of mine who I went to school with that I ponder and I wonder why them and not me. I have buried young women, young men, old men. Ladies and gentlemen, why? We will never know the paradigm that people walk through when they lose a loved one until you walk through it yourself. You can talk to them till you're blue in your face. You won't understand it unless you can say you truly have empathy, not sympathy also. I have. And David would say, examine me, O Jehovah. That's what that word Lord is. Jehovah, Father, Son, Spirit, Elohim, Jehovah, prove me, try my reins, try or test my heart. Can we do that just for a very few minutes right now, ladies and gentlemen? Y'all are very, very good people. And as I said, I will say more about you tomorrow. Lord, when I am critical of others, cause me to stop and examine myself. Amen? What are your first thoughts and feelings when you hear the word freedom? Maybe you associate it with the national liberty and the guarantee of our individual rights, because God knows we have our rights. Don't dare take my rights away from me. You're not going to let me on that plane? How dare you? You're going to kick me off that plane? How dare you? We have our rights, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to tell me I got to do that? No. I'll sue you. I have my rights. I have my freedoms. And yet the Bible talks about taking a brother or sister to court, doesn't it? But I have my rights. I'll override you in a heartbeat to do what I want. Is that what we think about when we talk about freedom? Wonder what Jesus would have said about that, folks. Perhaps it gives rise to a longing to be free from some situation or stress in your life that is demanding, unrelenting, and draining. It could be a job. Oh boy, we've been there. A difficult relationship. Anybody ever had difficult relationships? It could be financial struggles. Oh, no one has no financial struggles. Everybody in Bedford or Cleveland, Ohio, you're all rich people, aren't you? You don't have to worry about money or anything like that now, do you? Nobody has financial struggles, not at all. How about health issues? No one's affected with health issues, are they? No, not at all. Or any number of restraints that keep you from enjoying life or pursuing your dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about what is the chain and the ball on that chain that keeps you from serving Jesus the way that Jesus created you to serve Him. Because Isaiah 43 and verse 7 says that's what it is all about, that you are created to serve Him and His glory. So what keeps us back from serving God? What's my excuse? That Robert's a way better song leader than I am? That Randy can lead a way better prayer than I can? That Dave's a better preacher than Danny? What do we use for excuses? You see, we're not supposed to be in competition with people, but we're supposed to be in companionship with people. And I appreciate the love that this congregation has here. There's a lady that's right over here. I won't mention her name. Did I say Lori? Okay. She came forward last time. And she gave her life to God. She hasn't forgot that. And that was a joyful time. And her husband, Pat, I love him dearly. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go around and I could say something about you. You say, yeah, try me. I would if I had the time. Believe me, I really would. I don't look smart. But that little brain up there, it still has a pretty good recollection. Now, it might falter tonight. But I know a brain that will never falter. And I want to tell you about him. However, Jesus spoke about a deeper aspect of freedom that pertains to the state of our soul and has nothing to do with the externals of life. He wants to free us from the very internal form of bondage, and I think about that so often, that prevents us from becoming that person He created us to be. And when I talked about that Isaiah 43:7, look at it for what it is. Even everyone that is called by my name, you have been called by His name. He knows you. He knew you before you were even in the womb, folks. He knows everything. I'm telling you, what does not God know? Now, I understand that He chooses not to look on the sin and whatnot because He's holy. He could if He wanted to, but He knows. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And then in Colossians 1:16, we hear the Apostle Paul talking to a group of Christians at Colossia. And he said, for by him were all things created. By who? Who? Who's that pronoun alluding to here? I'll tell you who it's alluding to. It's alluding to Jesus the Christ. The great I am. And I have brethren and people tell me, oh, no, it's not. Look at the text. That's the problem. We're getting our eyes off the text and we're going to listen to these. And I'm not being condescending. Just because you have doctorates or whatnot, that's great that you have doctorate degrees and whatnot. But you don't need them to be a Christian. You can say it in layman terms just as well. And I'm not being, I'm happy that you're smart and you're wise. Listen, when I stand by you, you make me look better, okay? Nothing wrong with that. No one's going to look better than him. And yet, when Jesus was here, his beauty didn't shine forth, did it? You would have not, a common old, I won't say Joe, because one time I said that and I offended someone named Joe. So I won't say a common old Joe, although I'm going to offend this guy. Okay? I wish I had his jacket on. Alright? I love that man. When I first saw him, when I came back here, he said, Danny. He didn't, you know what? He came and gave me a hug. Hey, I'm right. That didn't mean nothing to him. And so I want to tell you what I think the world of you, buddy. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. Get off that. And that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether by be thrones or dominions or principalities. Think about all this, or the powers, or all things were created by him. I'll tell you what, and it was created for him. Jesus, this is not bogus. This is something we need to reiterate over and over and over. You can't stereotype it enough. And I won't mention something about Jesus. People say, how dare you? Do you get personal with people or whatnot? Get personal. I am going to pour my guts out to you. I'll lay down for you. And I'll even do something else. Do you think, call me on it. I'll give my life for you. But if you doubt me, it's because you doubt him.
But if you love Him, you won't be doubting. Ladies and gentlemen, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1, verse 8. Friends, this kind of freedom is not achieved by war or revolution, but by the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, Dave, I've had people quitting in His word. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. To continue in God's word means that we abide in God's word. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it fills our minds, shapes our attitudes and emotions, and it directs our behavior, does it not? That's what it does. And that's what we need to understand. Did you get it? I know you heard it, but did you get that? And that why Paul would repeat himself kind of like when he said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. In Philippians 4:8. But do you know before that he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by praise and glory. You know, you give it all to God. You want to give it all to God in thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. We're talking about having freedom. But what are we doing? And I'm here to tell you that He will set you free. Think about that. Be anxious for nothing. Being anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Think about that. I can do it, God. I can do it. I can be set free because You love me more than You love life itself that You gave. And when you do that, you'll have that peace of God and it will pass all understanding. But that's the only way we'll be set free. And He says you've got to put your mind on godly things, not on worldly things. Because this is just for a moment, a twinkling of an eye. It's a vapor, it's a flower. It's a, you know, the Bible gives many terms and definitions. But I'll tell you what you know how I know it's so surreal? I look at myself now. And I don't look like I did 20 years ago. I don't even feel like I did 20 years ago. I'm changing. Folks, the result will be freedom from sin and the deceptions that could captivate us from the snare of the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. We live in a culture that continually feeds us lies about both God and ourselves. That's the culture we live in today. Yeah, that's that degradation. And Satan is the master of deceit, is he not? Boy, he's good at what he does. Whose goal is to ensnare us in sin so we will be rendered ineffective and useless for God's purpose. That's what he wants. And here's the fact. By knowing and obeying the scriptures, that is the word of God, we will discover the truth and that truth will set us free. But we gotta want it. You gotta desire it. You gotta have passion. And you gotta be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the word of the Lord. Knowing that your labor will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. You've got to want it. So, here are three truths about freedom. And I'm done. Number one. The first step on the path to freedom is discovering what holds us captive. What is it? And what holds me captive will might be different from what holds you captive. My problems might not be your problems and vice versa. We understand that, don't we? Sometimes we are in bondage to false beliefs that cause us to doubt our salvation or think that God's acceptance is based on our good deeds. The deception leaves us uncertain of our standing with the Lord, always questioning if we have done enough. Have I done enough? The key that unlocks this spiritual jail is truth. It's truth. Our salvation is not kept. Now listen to me, please listen to me. Our salvation is not kept by our own ability. Mark it down. And we are not saved by works. Mark it down. God caused us to be born again. You got to be born again. Nicodemus, the ruler, he had a problem, didn't he, of the Jews? Born again. How can I be born again? But Jesus had some powerful words for that ruler, didn't he? And his power protects us through faith and guarantees that our inheritance in heaven is real. It's not a facade. It's real. I saw a picture over in the house over there Dave and Sharon's living in. And I'll tell you what, it was of going up by when he was doing a meeting. It was beautiful. It was like looking at an old farmhouse and the sun was rising. And just it was almost like, wow, it's just too beautiful to believe. Heaven's going to be just like that. It's just, you're going to look at it. It's going to pierce you, ladies and gentlemen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, remember what Peter said? How much do you want to go to heaven? Obviously, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to do everything you can. Nothing is going to keep you back from doing what God tells you to do. How much do you want to go to heaven? 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, we're talking about freedom. Blessed, happy be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's pretty powerful to me. How bad do you want to go to heaven? Beloved, another form of captivity is sinful habits. I know them well. A common attitude today that says essentially, and I hear professors all over the United States of America preach it because they can say it, because they have the degrees, but there was one thing. The degrees is not saying what the Bible says. They say what they want. They leave God out of the equation. That's the problem. We're leaving Him out of the equation. We're not including Him. This is my life. I can do whatever I want. I've had Christians call me all over and say, Danny, I'm going to flunk out. I'm going to flunk the course. I'm not going to graduate because I got to take this class. I say, flunk it. And then those who flunk out, they win. Those who take it, they lose. They become atheists, agnostics. They don't even believe in God. Is that what you want? I don't want that. You say, oh, that's not the way it is. It's not. It's not. However, toleration of sinful practices results in enslavements to them. Starts just with a little glance of pornography, folks. Little glance of pornography. Just a little glance. Little grand glance. Something about a man, he just can't stop. He's got to keep on going. Little wife, he's at home with 6 children. You just keep on, forget about her. Or women too. One little drink. Social drinking surely can't be wrong. Come on. The Bible talks about social drinking. It does? Well, Jesus at the wedding. Well, we need to have a talk.
Jesus would never contradict himself and say, drunkenness will cause you to go to hell, and he would have performed a great miracle and get everybody drunk. By the way, just like for hell and for wine, there's different terms in this drinking business. We become acclimated. But Ephesians 4:22 through 24 tells us, lay aside the old self and its sinful habits and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of truth. Put off, be renewed, put on. That's what we have to do. And when we do that, we can say, seek truth. That's all we want to try to do. Seek truth. Because if you're not careful, these habits will come up and they will bite you. How do you know that, Danny Allen? I have been bitten. Me. Practices such as sexual immorality, lying, profanity, drunkenness, or other addictive behaviors have a way of capturing us. At first, sin produces a twinge of conscience, but if we ignore the Spirit's conviction, we soon begin rationalizing and excusing our, it's not too bad. Friends, I've been there, and at this point, we've got to let go of truth, and we've got to believe Satan lies, because it's not following the Bible. Freedom will only come through accepting the Spirit's convictions. I'm alluding to the Holy Spirit. Confessing these behaviors as sin, turning away from them in repentance, and turning to the Lord in obedience. He simply will just say, if you love me, you know the rest. Keep my commandments. That's in layman's terms. In John 14, verse 15. And I'll tell you this, there is no other way to overcome sin. Zero. You see, we're in a spiritual warfare, are we not? Oh, you know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. I do too. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It talks there about the armor, doesn't it? And it talks there, ladies and gentlemen, about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and the feet shod in peace. In verse 17 it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might. It tells you how you can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm about to say should make everyone in this audience reflect. The most difficult area of captivity to recognize is emotional bondage. Because these feelings are often hidden deep within us. They may have been with us so long that we were comfortable with them and consider them a part of who we are. And yet they're killing us. However, these emotions can hinder our relationships with God and with also other Christians. Instead of having the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, Colossians 3 verse 15, we are controlled by the underlying damaging emotions such as fear, anxiety, insecurity, false guilt, jealousy, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, yada, yada, yada. Once we recognize these attitudes and feelings, we can counteract them with scriptural truth and we can be set free. And we've been saying, what is breaking the chain of your sins? What holds you back from Jesus? What keeps you from being a loving man, a loving mom, a better dad, a better person, a great aunt, a better uncle? What keeps us? Number two, we become free. To become free, we should understand the effects, the results of our bondage. If we don't deal with whatever controls us, our spiritual growth will be hindered. In Hebrews 12,
Verse 1, it tells us to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. It didn't say it was hard, Dave. Easy. Things that, well, I kind of like doing this. To myself, sin is not really something you hate doing. There's enjoyment for the moment until you die. If we try to live the Christian life with all these burdens, we will be unable to be who God created us to be in Isaiah 43 verse 7, or to achieve what He's planned for us to accomplish. How do you know what God has in mind for you if you don't give Him a chance? Why wait so long? Why wait? And ladies and gentlemen, I know people who have been baptized and they have died the next hour. But thank God that they gave their life. But why wait? God has created you for His glory. You know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen? You're special. You're very special. Because God made you. And the consequences don't end with us. They affect our personal testimony to the world. And they don't want anything to do with His church when they see us living in sin. You see, the way that we live breeds. The ripples widen. We think we get away. David? Bathsheba? Surely no one's, I'm the king. And David can do whatever he wants. He's the king. They can do whatever they want. They're the head. Honcho. Him or her. They do what they want. But it has consequences, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line, other people will see that our behavior doesn't match our profession of our faith. And you'll get nowhere. Because we reap what we sow. Galatians 6. Verse 7, verse 8. Ladies and gentlemen, number 3, we must learn the truths about Jesus Christ. Our freedom is based on our relationship with Jesus, is it not? We are now God's children and joint heirs with Christ, accepted, forgiven, and we are spiritually alive. Is what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 15 through 17. Furthermore, we have His indwelling Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, to guide and empower us to overcome every bondage. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness, anything that I'm faced with, God says, you can get out of it. That cannot be true. But it is true. Drinking. Drugs. Pornography. Me, 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 me. Anger. Jealousy. Envy. And it goes something like this. You guys have heard it. You guys all have heard it. David probably says it every week. And it's a good thing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Isn't that beautiful? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to go,
but will with temptation also make a way of an escape that you may be able to bear it. Beautiful, isn't it?
1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Through His divine power in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son, God has provided everything we need to live a godly life and become partakers of His divine nature. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to the glory and virtue, that is moral excellence, that word in Greek, virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, He never lies, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, thank you, God. But here's what we need.
We need more men praying. That's who my brothers are. I don't care the color of their skin. I care the color of their heart. There's enough prejudice in this country. We need to ride it out of town. Jesus is not prejudiced. Ladies and gentlemen, we gotta love one another. And I'll tell you what, I need more men. I need more men praying. And I need more women praying. That's what we mean. Ladies and gentlemen, victory is in Jesus Christ. But recap this, the freedom, this is how we have freedom. We need discover what holds us captive. We should understand the effect of our bondage. And then we must learn the truth about Christ. That's the antidote. That is what will heal you. And I'm going to ask you, by the way, have you been
born again? Remember we looked at John 3 and I said, John 3 verse 3, did you see it? It was almost like subliminal. But have you been born again of the Spirit and of the water? In other words, Jesus is asking, have you been baptized? Randy shared a powerful verse with me. And it went something like this at the restaurant just moments ago. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, Randy, I'm supposed to be the preacher. You're not supposed to be quoting to me. But boy, he put me to shame. But when he said that, I just smiled at him. And he wasn't knowing what I was thinking. I was thinking, amen, brother. Amen. To God be the glory. Come as we stand and sing.